a small taste of the presence of the heart. I'm going to stop speaking in 6 minutes. And then we'll have a break and then we'll come back and have questions. Because it would be unreasonable for me to stop talking now without mentioning something very important. Because we've spent the morning, we spent a short time in this hall in Swansea discussing some pretty big things. Infinity, consciousness, I am, I know, existence. Wow. The nature of the universe, the commonality between you and God. These are quite big ideas. So I must also say something else. What about mind? Because isn't it that which is occupying your days? Isn't it the behavior of that mind which is driving your life? Isn't it the glory and the oppressor of your world? Isn't it the friend and the enemy of your life? What the mind does, what the moods do, what the feelings do, this is the human experience, isn't it? So we must talk about the mind, and you must ask about the mind when we have questions and answers. Your entire experience, your whole life, is governed by your mind. By mind, we mean everything. We mean senses, perceptions, sensations, moods, feelings. We don't just mean thoughts. We mean the entire phenomena of sensation and experience and perceptions. This is what we mean by mind in Vedanta. And the tone and flavor and setup of your mind directs your experience, directs the day, directs your world. Even the things you see, even the appearance of this hall, is a consequence of your mind. So how the mind is important. Yoga, spirituality, self-development, all these things are trying to improve the status of the mind, to make it a little more peaceful, a little clearer, a little less agitated, a little more satisfied, and to bring the heart to a greater sense of openness and generosity and kindness, a softening here and a peace here, and the combination of the two. We want these things in a complicated world in which we live. So addressing how the mind is a very important element of spiritual life to which we dedicate our resources, trying to refine and better and make more gentle. In an ungentle world, make the mind more gentle in an ungentle world. So as well as the brilliance of the discovery of truth, it is also necessary to give attention to the quality of our minds. There are many, many teachings that offer solutions to that. None of them are quick. None of them are immediate. None of them are totally reliable. But there is a general enhancing quality of the state of the mind that comes about through spiritual practice. It really means continuing to be intelligent, continuing to be vital and active, but bringing about a greater acceptance and distance in ourselves from the agitations and the drives of the mind and the threats that threaten the heart. So only a fool would deny the mind. Only a fool would say, you are consciousness. That's all you are. That's all you need to know. That's a foolish teaching. But it is taught. It's unsafe and it's foolish. So, well, after you've had tea, by all means, talk about the mind as well as talking about the infinity of God. Both tracks are vital in coming to what I first started off saying, I propose people want. You want to know what's going on, you want to know what you are, you want to know the truth of things, and you want some security and some safety and some freedom and some peace and some happiness. And these things come from understanding the truth, but that's only really possible when the mind is in a receptive state to enable you to meditate, to enable you to ponder, to enable you to not be so caught up in the to-ings and fro-ings of desire and attitude and the legacies of your past. Exactly 6 minutes. Let's have a break, then come back and we'll talk about some great things, all down to you.